Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood! I'm here with Ronan Rosner, extraordinary engineer of Wake Up Hollywood, and fill-in co-host for the night. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
How was your Valentine's?
Valentine's?
Yeah, did you have a romantic getaway with your wife?
Or? Not getaway, just, you know, ordinary. When you have kids, it's harder.
you know, most couples I know that have kids, they do Valentine's with their kids now.
Yeah.
Do they give, like, Valentine's cards to like other kids? And all
yeah, that? Obviously, at school they do
I used to look forward to that so much.
Really?
Yeah. I used to, like, love, like, the Batman Valentine's cards.
Yeah. Sometimes they give you with a little candy. I just steal all the candy. But now they're
so
all
so you steal,
like,
their Halloween candy and their Valentine's candy? That's
always,
not good, man.
Always. That's why you're a parent. But, yeah, I mean, now, because everybody's politically correct, now it's about Friendship Day, not Valentine's.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's more about appreciating the other kids.
Well, that's very friendly. That's nice. I miss the cards, though. I mean, that was always the day where you're like, you had your crush on your girl, and you were just like, oh, my God, I hope I get a Valentine. Little did you know she gave one to everybody in the class.
Exactly.
But that one that she gave to you, you were like, she sent me a special message.
Yeah. We don't want to leave any kid, you know, feeling bad. So you have to buy the cards for everybody. And no naming. So you just hand them out.
Oh, you can't even, like, write a little message?
Nothing? No.
Oh, so they really want it, like, very PC.
They ruin everything.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's no fun. There's no mystery with that.
Nope.
Everybody gets the same love.
Exactly.
Well, that's no good. Well, I went to the Grammys 2 weeks ago. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I took my parents, which was super exciting. You're only allowed, actually, one ticket for Academy members.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took my writing partner because he was part of the Ziggy Marley experience. And my other writing partner, he had tickets, and he said, hey, I can't use my tickets. The Grammys asked me to mix the live feed. Ooh. So I took my parents, and we got to sit seventh row.
Wow.
Jill Scott, who's one of my favorite artists, she actually sat behind me for the first ceremony. And I was just like, what am I going to say to her? I didn't say anything to her because it was just like not the right moment. But yeah. It was amazing. You were just like rubbing shoulders with like so many of your heroes. And we got to see Adele. Ziggy Marley won. Jimmy Jam, he actually was the person that gave Ziggy the award. And I didn't think it was going to be emotional for me. Like, it was really strange. Like, I sat there with my folks. I was in a maroon tuxedo. And, you know, it was just awesome. And both my parents, like, right before they announced it, just quickly started, they grabbed my hand. And I was like, this is crazy. What I feel so intense. And then they announced his name. And, like, you just think of all the kind of, like, the bullshit gigs that you did, or the, you know, the trenches that you were fighting in as a musician in the early days.
True.
To get to where you are. So it was, like, super emotional. It was super amazing that, you know, my parents were there to witness that, too, because they've kind of seen and been through all of it with me. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty powerful. And then the second part of the ceremony was, you know, we got to watch Adele perform, Bruno Mars, The Weeknd, Lady Gaga, Metallica. I mean, it was just all performances. So as soon as he won the award, it was kind of like, now we get to enjoy the awards. But the funny thing is, at the end of all of that, it was like 9:30 when it was all done, and I just couldn't wait to get home and just, like, hang out and relax and just be with my bulldog. Yeah, take that tuxedo off. The shoes. I forgot. Like, I will never wear tuxedo shoes again. I vowed to myself when I was doing school dances, like, oh, man, those are the worst. But man, they are the worst, and I will never wear them again. But yeah, next time I go, if there is a next time, I'm wearing high tops, something with soft soles that I can enjoy. That I there's no stress, you know, like. And maybe an Adidas sweatsuit. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can wear a tuxedo, maybe Adidas sneakers or something.
I saw some people doing that, of course. I was so envious. It was like, oh, my God, I wish I wore that. I saw people like – there was one guy that wore like just like regular street clothes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you look kind of ridiculous, but at the same time, like, I envy you. You look so comfortable. You know what I mean? So there were some people that were dressed like extravagantly too, like really wild colors and craziness. But – it was a lot of fun. Yeah. And the performances, Bruno Mars was incredible. The Prince tribute. I'm wearing my Prince shirt right now because,
I can see.
You know, he was just insane. He was so good. So it was definitely one of the, like, moments that I will remember for the rest of my life.
I'm sure.
And we get Grammy certificates, which is cool. So we don't actually get the awards because only the person that gets the award gets it. But anybody affiliated with the album gets one too, so it's just like.
So you're a Grammy winner.
I guess you can say that. Yeah, which is crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. It's definitely strange. But the funny thing is, I was producing an artist like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, up until 3:30 in the morning, and then we just celebrated Sunday, and it was back to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It was like just a little time to celebrate, and then right back to what are you doing next? That's gonna get you to the next level. So. It was fun to celebrate. Fun to celebrate with my writing partners, and it was cool because it was our first credit too.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot more credit since then.
One.
Yeah, it's an important one. And Ziggy's speech was powerful. It was like he was just talking about how music can change the world, and it has the power. And he thanked the ancestors in reggae music before him that paved the way for him. So, you know, all of that, hearing it, that's what got me totally choked up.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is so surreal. All of this. It's just so surreal.
True. And, I mean, Ziggy Marley, I mean, if you consider royalty in music, he's definitely at the top.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, like, he opened... So first, you know, we sent the songs to him, and he didn't actually like that song. And he wanted the other two that we had written for him. And I fought really hard for that. I was like, you know, play for him again. Like, let him listen to this song again. It's perfect for him. I wrote this... really for him with my writing team, but I mean it was a song that I really just stayed up in the middle of the night and just like, you know, just wrote it with my heart and soul. And then 6 months later he was in the studio and he just did a total 180 and was like, yeah, let's cut this song and let's scrap the other two. And then he opened his tour with it, and that I was sitting there watching him open his tour with the song, and that just was like, this is crazy. And then when it was nominated, like, it's like I went through this whole journey with the song. It was like my baby, you know?
Yeah, so. I mean, it sounds like it's 6 months plus all the work behind it.
Yeah, and then you had to wait to see if it actually made the record.
Yeah.
You know, like, that waiting period was agony. I was like...
It's probably longer than human.
Yes.
Yeah,
and there
like an elephant,
songs,
right?
Yeah, and there's songs that he recorded that never made the record. So
I'm sure.
We knew he recorded it, but we never got word that it was finalized. Then we got word that it was on the record, but it may not be track one. It may be track six. We're like, why would you put Start It Up as number six? But, you know, there's always a possibility. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy. The whole experience was just full 180.
Nice. Amazing.
And you know what? I'm going to welcome our special guest right now.
Let's do it.
Ms. Taryn Myers Rothstein, how are you?
I'm good. Hello.
Our studio audience loves you already. Oh! So the cool thing about Taryn is she and I have known each other since I was 13. She's come to all my early gigs. We were in Bye Bye Birdie in ninth grade together.
Yes.
We've been friends forever. And you've actually been, you know, you don't know this, but I've always admired you as an artist. You've been one of the best dancers ever.
I mean, you
really are like a super talent. When you know this. You're like, I know, but you were a USC song girl. You started dancing. How old were you when you started dancing?
I started dancing, I think, when I was 7.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember being in my kitchen and just telling my mom I wanted to take dance lessons. And so she signed me up, and I got into everything. I got into ballet and jazz and hip-hop, and I even did Hawaiian dancing.
What?
I know. I did hula dancing.
That's awesome.
And I was a dance studio kid.
Hmm.
You know, you see those kids that are just raised in the dance studio.
Yeah.
And then I just never left. So it was just after school, and then that turned into like performances at parties, and I just got the bug. I loved creating my own costumes, and
that's awesome.
I loved it. Well, I loved being a performer, and yeah. I loved that expression.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was floating when I danced.
There's something that oozes out of people when they dance too. It's like some people have it. Every time you would watch you perform, every time I'd see you perform, whether it was Orcasys in high school or USC or whatever, you could just tell you were so passionate about it. And that is like not something that you can earn. You just have it or you don't. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. Where did you first start taking dance lessons? Like what city?
You know, in Alhambra.
Oh, okay.
So when we moved to Arcadia in the fourth grade, so I didn't meet you until junior high, but
right.
I moved.
You were Highland Oaks, right?
I was Highland Oaks girl, and my mom had took me to a local dance studio in Alhambra, and I started there, and then I, you know, just graduated to, what did I do? I went.
You did like recitals, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did big recitals, and you know, I had all the costumes, all the frills, all the little tap shoes, and everything. And then it kind of, you know, when I got into junior high and high school, it turned into cheerleading.
Yeah.
So then I started auditioning for cheerleading, and I loved that. But I always stayed in the dance class. Because I loved that atmosphere. I loved going in and you would leave everything at the door. You would leave if you had a bad day. Everything would come out in dance and then you would always feel better. It's like going to the gym. You just like feel better when you leave.
Yeah.
So I've just always loved that. And it just helped me with confidence and everything that I did for the rest of my life.
Well, it's like it gets you centered with like the rhythm of the world, sort
totally.
Of. You know what I mean? I know it sounds weird, but like as a musician.
No, but as a musician, it's like
totally
they're
get it.
They're
you totally
together.
Get it. Yeah, and
they're
like
together.
And it's like you can see when people are kind of like not in sync. You know, it's like, you know, I've taken a little bit of dance, nothing compared to you. You and I have done some tap lessons a couple of times. But like it just centers you. It just gets you like right with what's right in the world, and then you see people when they're just like out to lunch with that
right
that sense of
well
rhythm,
yeah you hear know? About like football players taking ballet class because mm-hmm. it definitely gives
timing.
You balance and timing and
I don't
discipline.
Think I've ever asked you this. What is your favorite or what was your favorite form of dance that you just fell in love with?
Oh, lyrical jazz, for sure. Taking like a popular song and doing lyrical dance to it. So, you know, back then, like when it was Sarah McLachlan or, you know, Justin Timberlake, and taking like a really slow lyrical jazz dance and doing that. That was my favorite. After that, hip hop.
Awesome.
And ballet,
it's a classic.
It was like the core.
Yeah.
It was the core. It gave me the strength to be better at all those other things of dance that I loved. You know, I missed that whole So You Think You Can Dance boat because,
right.
you know, that wasn't around when I
you
was in
rocked
my,
that. You
my heyday. But I would have definitely auditioned for that. Like, that was kind of my era, like, of dance that I loved. Just, like, popular music and just letting loose.
And you were in, I think you were in dance team in ninth grade. You were in Orcasys.
Yep, yep.
You were a USC song girl.
Yes.
So, like, it just followed you
it
around.
It followed me everywhere. The thing that I learned in high school from being in Orcasys was creating everything. You know, we created, like, we were given the freedom to like
express
yeah. but also like do the costumes, pick our own music, do our own choreography, pick the people that we wanted in our dance. It was our job to, you know, do it from start to finish, kind of like in drama, you know.
Yeah.
You're like given a play and you like make it your own, and I felt that once I went to college and I started kind of dabbling in auditioning, like in the industry in Hollywood, I really lost that. I really didn't like that I was just told what to do, what to wear, be here at a certain time, and this is the music.
You're less creative.
Yeah, I was like, I lost that voice.
Right.
But I still did it because I loved it, and I thought that was the transition as a dancer. You audition, and you try to become a dancer, whether it's like to go on tour with Missy Elliott or Britney Spears, and I definitely auditioned for those type of stars.
You took classes at like the Edge, I'm sure.
I took classes at the Edge. I performed at Millennium or auditioned at the Millennium. I had a big dance scholarship at Joe Tremaine's dance studio here.
Yeah. I saw some performance of yours like around 2000, I think the year was 2000, where
yes,
went to some theater.
It was like a big amazing performance that all the kids that were on scholarship would do. And it was like, you had like, you know, 12 different dance routines, and that was similar to like Orgasys.
Right.
Loved it. Then once you're done with that, they spit you out into the audition world, and it's just hard. And
it's not the same.
You're showing up with like 500 people.
And it's cutthroat.
And
it's
they're picking like maybe one or two dancers.
And you're like, this is crazy.
And so here's what I learned along the way, because I got a dance agent, and then I got an agent to do a little acting because I thought, why not do both? So I started to go out on like commercials and stuff. And one day I couldn't make an audition. And I got a call back anyways. And I started to think strategically, oh, so when you don't go to these auditions, they think that you're too busy and you're too important
That's
to make
awesome.
It. So I would get callbacks because they see your headshot and they go through all these headshots and they're like, well, she didn't make it. Let's have her come to the callback. So I'd come to...
That's amazing. It's a good little strategy.
I kind of started to figure Hollywood out a little bit, and that's how I booked a few little jobs here and there.
Right.
I was Keira Knightley's body double
in
the movie Domino.
That's right.
And I didn't show up to the audition, and they narrowed it down to me and one other girl.
That's crazy. And I remember that, you know, when I was in college, I remember just like watching TV, and you were in like a Skechers. What was the shoe commercial?
Oh, Shoe Pavilion.
Shoe Pavilion.
Step
she was,
up
she was
shoe
like doing
pavilion.
This huge dance solo, and like she was like rocking out. And like, it was so funny. Like, I'd be watching TV, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, there's Tan. That's crazy. She's dancing. Oh, it looks like she's having a good time. And then I'd like call her and be like, were you on it? Like, this is what I love about Tan. It's like she was so humble, always. So humble. She would never announce that she was on a commercial or that she did this. And then I'd say, hey, were you on a shoe commercial? And she'd be like, maybe. Did you see it? Did you like it? I was like, it was awesome. You were amazing. Like, it was incredible.
Before social media,
I know. But I mean, it's like, you've always been a hustler. You've always been so passionate about art. You took drama classes in high school.
Yep.
You took acting classes after college.
Yeah, I did all of that. Like, I was just in it. I just jumped right in it. I was like, if I'm going to have an agent and go out on these dance auditions, I might as well go out on any audition that they feel I might fit the part. So I did. And I dabbled in little, like, things. Like, I did a Coors Light commercial, and then I did a print ad for Nike.
I remember.
And,
but it's like, you know what? It's like, it's such a political game when it comes. I mean, that's one of the reasons we started this show. It's like, Wake Up Hollywood. It's about showcasing, it's putting a light on people that need voices. Cause it's like, Hollywood is such a weird game. It's such a political bullshit game. But you know, it's like, I always notice like whenever you were getting cool things, I'm like, these aren't even showcasing her in the way that...
No, not at
all.
It
wasn't like this, like, she's this great artist, and she's not even being showcased as this great artist.
Right, so I was going from performing this, like, grandiose, you know, on-stage thing to... I'm in the crowd at a Coors Light commercial with a foam finger.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
that's
really?
Hollywood.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing. And then I had a really small part in Coach Carter. It was a basketball movie.
Samuel Jackson.
And, you know, my husband jokes because my opening line was, hey, you. So, like, we'll be in the kitchen, like, making dinner, and I'll be like, hey, you.
He's like, I know you. I've seen you in something before.
So, yeah, I kind of got burnt out like most people do.
Yeah. Easy to do in this city.
And a lot of people move away, but luckily I live here. So I just kind of took a break.
Yeah.
And, you know, started bartending. Well, I was bartending the whole time, really, after college, supporting all my auditions.
Right, I remember
and
that.
And my party lifestyle.
But you know, you were so awesome about 20s. Her too. Renan, she would work like you'd work like 3-4 nights a week. Like you'd always like leave this room to like dance, take classes.
Oh yeah.
Act, do like it was always like working was always just like a it's a secondary side project to your passion. I always respected that about you because it's like it's not a lot of people do it like that. Most people like throw themselves into work and then forget about their passions and being creative. And it's like you always were like, this is going to be a stepping stone so that I can create.
Well, it was very hard going to USC, being surrounded by people who are getting, you know, a lot of my girlfriends were going into big corporate jobs for like Edison and AT&T and getting, you know, all the benefits and the insurance and all that kind of stuff right out of college.
Right.
And I was bartending and going for the dream.
Yeah, but then, like, 2 years later, they're like, I'm hating my life. Like, nobody ever talks about that. But it's like, we all have seen people that are just like, yeah, I don't really like what I do.
Yeah.
I've got all the benefits, and I've got a
I'm working 60-70 hours a week.
And it's like,
I don't really see home.
Yeah. And you have to ask yourself, like, is this what your purpose? Like, you were born into the world just to do something that you don't love.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Working a cubicle.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I honestly, I'm like, how do you do that? How do you sit there?
And I was there. It's left it.
You're like, I can't do this.
You're miserable. You're miserable.
Yeah.
Because you're like a cog in a machine. Mm-hmm. You're just a little screw that holds.
You feel replaceable. You feel like there's nothing
very much, very
that's holding
much.
You down. So... Yeah, kudos to you to actually, like, see that. Like, I'm not going to take that path. I'm going to go a different way.
And I've always had this crazy, like, entrepreneurial, like, energy. Like, I've always wanted to, like, be my own boss and create my own thing. And I don't know if you remember, but after college, I started this little company called Polished.
Yeah, the dog clothes.
Yeah, so I thought, what can I create? I love fashion.
Right.
So I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to break into the fashion world. That's just, like, way out there.
Which you could have, because you were always, like, a tastemaker.
Thank you.
When it came to that.
Thank you. But I didn't want to, you know, I was going to compete with people going to FITM, and I didn't want to move to New York. Not that you have to be in New York to do fashion, but I was just like, how can I do this on a smaller scale? And I thought, oh, dog clothes. And so,
so cute.
It was right when Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie were really into carrying their dogs and dressing them.
Yeah.
So I kind of tapped on that market. So I'm always into like what's happening, what's on trend. So I hopped on it and I, you know, had a showroom and I was published in like a couple of teeny bop magazines.
I remember seeing that on MySpace.
Oh yeah, MySpace.
You're posting on MySpace. Yeah, by the way.
So I got my first taste in owning my own business, and then I realized that I couldn't do it all myself. So I was, you know, not making enough money, and I stopped doing that. But it helped me learn so much about, like,
organizing.
Yeah, website.
Having a vision, yeah.
How do I reach out? How do I, you know, hit the pavement? So, you know, with everything that you try and move on from, you, like, you pick up things from it.
Yeah, totally.
Throughout your whole life. So, like, everything that I've experienced my whole life, you know, for everybody, it gets you to where you are.
Well, the cool thing is, it's like, you've always been one of the most creative people I know. And now you're doing this thing, Pasadena Charm. I want you to talk a little bit about that, because you've been working with, like, crazy, awesome companies like Nike, Madewell. I just saw you did something at the Apple store. Like, you're doing, like, this amazing stuff. I'm, like, playing it super cool like you always do. But I'm like, wow, she's really, like, rocking this shit. Like, you're really doing it. So
thank you.
Tell us, like, why this was such an attractive, you know, vision for you to be a part of. And tell us, like, what is behind Pasadena Charm that is so gratifying for you.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you how it was born. I had a baby. So my son, Finn, and I were walking the streets of Pasadena, and I realized that there was a lot happening around me. And during that time, I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I need to be creative. I love being a mom, but I need to be creative. I love staying home, but I need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of moms find that find it difficult to find that balance, because, you know, a lot of them have to stay at home to raise their baby. You know, a lot of them go back
to work.
And that's
a job in and of itself.
It's like, nobody talks about how hard it is. Do you have kids?
Yeah, two.
Oh, it's Nobody told me. In fact,
did you see the gray hairs on his beard?
Yeah, of course.
When my big aha moment at the hospital was like, okay, so you're going to have to feed this child every 2 hours. And I said, every 2 hours? You mean I don't
know? Who eats that much?
Like, it's not like breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah. He's not on my schedule.
Wow, wow.
Right.
Amazing, but I feel like there's a lot of. It's just very difficult. So as I'm like getting out of the house, because you get, you know, you get stuck in your house, especially those first like 3 months where wow. you're just like a, a mom zombie.
I'd be like.
So we would take lots of walks around Pasadena, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, "Oh gosh, you know, do I want to create something? Do I want to make something with my hands? You know, so many people like do jewelry, and so many people do fashion, and people cook, and people where am I? What am I doing? Kind of moment.
Right, right.
And then I thought, I don't have time to do anything other than take a picture and maybe post it to Instagram.
Right.
So then I thought, okay.
That's a huge vehicle right now.
There's an idea.
Right.
So Pasadena Charm actually started as a hashtag on my personal Instagram account. So I would go around and be like, oh, that's really charming. Look at that new ice cream shop that opened up. Oh, wow, there's a new coffee shop on the corner there. Oh, that's really cool. Oh, there's a pop-up happening. So then I would just hashtag Pasadena Charm. Then I just one day said, I just need to start something. And I think the best advice sometimes is just to jump in.
Right.
Just to start and jump in. So I created Pasadena Charm, its own Instagram. And I found some events that were happening around the city. And I said, hey, can I feature you for free? Can I just post a picture on my Instagram account? Yeah, we'd love that. People love free advertising.
Of course.
So
and
then,
you picked very like specifically different things, too, to showcase.
Well, there were already a few Pasadena Instagrams out there.
Right.
And I wanted to be different. I wanted to be a little bit more
mysterious,
independent,
right.
Unique, underground, something that you're not going to see, you know, mainstream.
Right.
Something that only the locals know about. You know, there's a lot of moms that were creating things, and a lot of the big companies like Anthropologie and Madewell are starting to get on that ship of little local makers.
Yeah.
They call them makers and shakers. And now a lot of these stores are having these pop-ups and bringing in artists. West Elm does it all the time. In fact, I got this ring from a jewelry gal that had a little pop-up in West Elm.
That's
and
awesome.
So I'm featuring the girl doing jewelry. I'm featuring the girl doing photography. I'm featuring the mom doing florals.
Because they're not doing all that
right.
stuff on
not
their own,
not the
too.
Big brick and mortars, yeah. But I also, you know, I feature the big and I feature the small, whatever kind
you feature
of...
feature the good. Like
yeah, whatever what I, about. Like, I'm all about energy. So
right.
I go where, like, I'm pulled in, like, a really cool vibe. I'm all about, like, the good vibes.
Yeah.
Like, if you have good vibes...
And you know what, like... Taryn, you've always been. I'm educating Ronan because she has always been the trendsetter. You don't know this, like I know, but she has always been the trendsetter ever since we went to a huge high school. Our graduating class was like 900 kids, and she was always the person that was always leading the trends. I mean, you didn't know it, like I knew it, but
it's I took some risks.
You did.
I remember people would look at me kind of weird if I like wore a like new hat or, but I didn't care.
Yeah, but you didn't give a shit.
Because I loved it.
Do it.
I loved expressing myself.
Yeah.
That was like
yeah.
through fashion and through dance. I think they kind of go together.
Well, it's like that artistic side of you that kind of like, you know, grasps on the things that are just unique.
Yeah.
You've always done that.
Yeah.
With music, she showed me music. Like I'm a musician and she'd show me music that I'd never heard before. In fact, I don't even know if you remember this, but in 10th grade, she made me a mixtape of like all the 80s like tunes that weren't on the radio sometimes, and some were. Totally 80s. You made me like,
oh my
I still have it somewhere
oh,
at my parents'
hear
house.
It.
It's so awesome.
Oh my God.
So like she's always showed me music, always showed me sounds, always showed me like films. You showed me so many movies. Went to like Amelie. You showed me like movies that I was like, I would never pick this movie to go see. And she's doing that now with Pasadena Charm. So it's like every now and then I'll see like a peek on my feed of something that you promote. And I'm like, I'm from Pasadena and I've never even seen this store and on the block that I just was there last week. You know, like, so you're doing like a cool thing because you're showcasing things that people need to know about that may not have the voices.
Right.
So what's the biggest obstacle for you in doing that?
I think the biggest...
Just so you know.
Oh, you did. Nice. Nice throw. Let's see. The biggest obstacle is figuring out how to work with all sorts of people across the board. So I'm working with like a little florist, but then I'm working with like really big companies. I'm starting to get people that really want me to feature them.
Right.
And so for the first, I would say, year of Passing a Charm, I did a lot of trade. Oh, yeah, give me clothes and I'll feature you.
Right.
In the beginning, I did everything for free. Then it turned into trade. Oh, yeah, I'll give you a gift card for this. So now it's finding that
balance
right. of finding what I'm worth and what social media and a social influencer is, you know, how do you put a dollar amount on that?
You're a tastemaker. Do you know, like, there are music people that I look to. Like, if John Mayer says, oh, my God, I'm listening to this song, I love a lot of his same influences as, you know, as far as, like, jazz musicians or lead guitars. So when he says he likes something, I always check it out. You're like that with fashion and trends, music, like, city life. We've done a lot of things that I probably, like, you know, we've gone out to ventures in Vegas and, like, cool parties.
Yeah.
Things that I never would have gone to if you didn't show me things like that. So it's cool that you're doing it on a level that's like, and it's like family oriented. You're doing like shops and like ice cream shops that are like unique and doing like new flavors, or you're doing like, you know, cool, like Madewell is actually a really awesome, it's mostly female stuff.
It is.
They do some guys, like very rare at some stores.
If they
shorts,
do,
some stores.
I would say, I'm not sure, I can't.
Yeah,
can't
they,
say
they,
for
it's
sure.
Very small. And their shirts are like very euro
well,
size.
Well, Madewell is actually where I got my first break.
Oh, okay.
So I walked into Madewell when Pasadena Charm was very new. And I said again to the woman behind the counter, hey, do you mind if I just take a couple of pictures? I always ask first and put it on my blog. She says, oh, yeah, what's your Instagram? I said, it's Passing a Charm. She goes, I follow you.
That's awesome.
And I, you know, I got all excited. You get that motivation.
Yeah.
And
worlds collide.
It turns out she had a son too that was like a day younger than Finn, and she said, you know,
that's awesome.
Then we had this mom bond. Then she said, then we had a mommy play date in the park. Then she said, you should have an event at Madewell. So this is another thing that these big stores are doing, is that they're having social influencers come and bring all their followers.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I'll show up. I'll do a little shout out that I'm going to be here. And so Madewell was really one of the first big breaks
awesome.
That I had.
And it's a cool company too, because it's like they're very indie. Like,
yes.
They're not on every radar. Like, they're not like a huge company.
Right.
They do
not like
really
Old Navy.
Good quality stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you have a girlfriend, then you know that you shop at places like that. And you're like, oh, this is actually really cool. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you just kind of know when things are made well. I always look at stuff like that.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of anything that's made well.
Yeah.
See how I
do Yes.
No, but anything that's done really well. It's like quality. Like, that is something that kind of like loses a lot of integrity as we get older. It's like things are made cheaper because there's more of a profit margin. But when companies kind of go that extra mile and make something that's affordable but the quality is amazing, it's the most like amazing feature. You know,
yes.
It's like you don't see that. So it's cool that you're featuring companies like that. What was it like to do that Apple Store event? Tell me what that was all about.
Well, let me ask you a question really quickly.
Please.
On the line.
Look at you turning the tables.
Introducing you to things sometimes. Have you ever heard of a capsule wardrobe?
No.
Okay, so this is on trend right now. It's what you do is you clean out your closet and you take like maybe 22 pieces. I'm not sure what the exact, don't quote me on this, but you take like 22 pieces or 15 pieces, it's like a recipe for your closet, and you get rid of everything else. It's like minimalizing.
Wow.
And it's all about quality. So instead of having your closet like
it's full of everything.
Full of crap that you never wear,
right.
It's taking up space, it's clogging your closet, and it's clogging your life.
Yeah, totally.
It's all symbolized like that. I watched this great documentary. Have you seen The Minimalists?
No.
It's on Netflix.
See, this is what she does. Look at this. This is, now I'm going to go home and watch this movie and be like, that was awesome.
And you have to watch it. I was telling all my girlfriends about it, and now everybody's like, let's all become minimalists and let's all do capsule wardrobes. So
that's awesome.
I wanted to just tell you about that before I forgot.
I got to tell Bonnie that, too.
Yes, tell Bonnie, and tell her to go on to Pinterest and just look up capsule wardrobe.
Capsule wardrobe. I'm going to do that tonight. Capsule wardrobe.
And you'll see how the instructions.
No, the amazing thing is with social media and things like Pinterest, that's a great thing that you brought up. It's like you really can see people find their way into their, like, you know, likes of crafts or, I mean, the things that I like now as an adult are so different. I mean, a lot of it's guitar stuff and boring stuff because I'm a guy, but I mean, a lot of it's also, you know, I just like crafts. I realize I like going to places where there's crafts booths or like fairs where there's like people just being creative. Like, I'm such a fan of that. And when you see people kind of doing it on a big scale and a small scale, it's just like it gets you excited. And I know that you're like this because your whole concept behind this is like showcasing a lot of that.
Absolutely.
What are the things that you're most excited about showcasing on the daily? Like, what are your like biggest interests? Is it clothing? Is it restaurants? Is it kind of like events that are kind of coming into Pasadena? Like, and it's really cool that you're showcasing part of your hometown. I mean, you're from Pasadena.
Right, I know. Well, let me ask you this. So growing up in Arcadia, where we went to high school, Pasadena, I don't think was like the cool place to be. It was...
Well, not to us, because we were growing up, we're like, Arcadia is a cool place
right.
to be.
Right, yeah. But it was kind of quiet and a little bit older, and I feel like since... I don't know, like in the last maybe 5 to 7 years, it's just gone through this crazy change of like restaurants and...
Well, like Paseo's like this happening
Paseo and One Colorado, and there's all these like really cool pockets and, you know, Art Center and, there's just like all this really cool, you know, the convention center, and then there's Indiana Colony where... Intelligentsia is, and then, you know, I've discovered all these really cool parks being a mom, and there's really cool coffee shops that you can walk to, and then there's like vintage arcade gate.
And there's like street performers. And
there's like, it's just like alive, and I don't remember that in high school.
No, it wasn't like that.
I don't think
I mean,
it was starting.
I remember like a couple times it was like you'd have like the Saturday night, every now and then be one street performer, but now it's like almost every block you'll see somebody like making flowers out of paper or like somebody down the block like juggling or somebody playing guitar and singing, and it's like that never used to be like that.
Absolutely.
And especially when you travel around the country, you realize like Pasadena is like, it is like a cultural, like this huge cultural, you know, I don't even
burst
know
what to, yeah of... bur-
thank you.
You're welcome.
It became very trendy. To people who don't know, Pasadena is part of the city of LA. It's a little bit to the northeast. Van Halen came from.
You had Voltaire and I like that. I'm like, is it north of the mountains?
Yeah. But it is part of LA.
Yes.
And,
And
well, the Rose Bowl's there. I mean, there's some huge
the
things. Like the World
the
Cup
Rose
has
Parade.
Been there.
Yeah, I went to the Rose Bowl game. It
was
epic. Oh, my gosh.
That was the best football game I've ever been to. Just saying.
Hands down, even as a cheerleader on the field, it was hands down the best game.
It was out of control.
It was out of control. And that game actually came from working with the Tournament of Roses, who contacted me. Actually, I had a friend introduce me to them. His name's Mr. Pasadena. He's another city influencer that I adore. And they said, you know, let's do something together. And I forget what the question was. What am I...
what are you, like, excited about showcasing?
Right. So what I do a lot with Pasadena Charm is I bring people together to collaborate. So one of my second projects after Madewell was Anthropology. I had a photographer who had a friend that worked at Anthropology, and then once I set that...
That's another great store, by the way.
I love Anthropology. So then I had this date of a shoot that we were going to do, and I thought, wow, they've got really cool, like, home decor there.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool to get, like, some desserts from a local Pasadena, you know, establishment and bring that into the photo shoot?
Smart.
So then I contacted Lette Macaroons and I said, hey, I have this photo shoot with Anthropology on Friday.
Yeah.
Do you want to give me a box
like,
of macaroons?
Lette, have some macaroons.
Lette, me have some macaroons, please. And the girl was all for it. She was like, yeah, come and pick up a box. and do it.
And you're like, yes.
So it's- now when I have projects, it's like they just turn into this like animal. There's this amazing place called the Zorthian Ranch. It's all the way at the top of Fair Oaks, and it used to be like this crazy hippie compound back like in the 70s. Hmm. And the woman that did the flowers for my wedding is the one that told me about it. And she said she used to babysit for a little kid. But now it's like this like Airbnb like place where people can have like events and parties. Right. And she said, you should have a photo shoot up there. So I said, great, I'm going to have a photo shoot up there.
And give me streets. Do you know where exactly this
is? So if you take Fair Oaks all the way up till you can't take Fair Oaks anymore. Like you don't make any left or any right. I mean, just up until you hit the Zorthian Ranch. Yeah.
So it's right there.
So it's right there. Huh. But it's like up in the mountains, Altadena. Okay. Awesome. So just take, you'll see it. It's like this field, and then you got to go across this like rickety old bridge, and the sign says like,
that sounds
cross
awesome.
At your own risk. And
you're like, oh my God, I'm a Goonie.
Yeah, and then you go up and you're, yeah, total Goonies. Yeah.
And nobody talks about that stuff. Like there's so many hidden gems.
Oh, hidden gems.
Because that's the problem. LA is such a tourist city. Yeah. Then when you look at Pasadena, it's such a gem because it's very trendy without becoming too commercialized. Because if you go east side on the beach, you got Santa Monica, you got Venice Beach. Everybody's going there, but it's so commercial.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's ugly. To be honest, it's ugly.
Pasadena is very classic still. It's very, like, you've got that great combination of old school meets new school.
Well, a lot of the Hollywood celebrities in like the 40s and 50s used to live in South Pasadena.
Yes. Sorry, and that actually, oh no, it's fine. It actually brought me to why I spoke at the Apple Store. And the title of that panel was New Tech in Old Pasadena. Hmm. So it's basically like, how is Pasadena taking on new technology via social media?
Wow.
So I was asked to be on this panel with Pabst Blue Ribbon, House of Blues,
amazing,
Live Nation, and then little old me, Pasadena Char.
You're like, what's up? I'm living the American dream.
Well, I had a lot to say, and I felt like I related to the people in the audience a little more because they were all small business people. So you've got like the House of Blues person saying, oh yeah, well I've got, you know, we do this, this and that. Well, the mom and pop person is like, I can't afford to do what House of Blues is doing social media. You guys have a whole team of people working on Facebook and you've got one person for each medium or, you know, social media. So I had a lot of people come up to me afterwards and say, wow, I really related to what you said because I did it all myself and I taught myself and I, you know, figured out a way to grow my following without buying followers, without,
you're doing it the, like, the honest way.
Well, and people always talk about, you know, growing your following the organic way, you know. But it's going to pay off in the end.
Yeah.
Because now my followers are, like, loyal to me, and they, like, follow me, and they...
Well, you're a tastemaker. I mean, I keep saying that, but it's, like, it is important. It's, like, a lot of people don't have time to figure out the cool restaurant, the cool coffee shop.
Right.
And that's what I was asking also. It's, like, you know, when it comes to your interests, like, I'm like, an espresso junkie now.
Oh,
it's, like,
yes.
I could just go to Pasadena for all the crazy cool tea and coffee shops. There's
so many.
Do you
do affogatos?
I love affogatos.
Oh, I love a good affogato.
Or Cordovas.
Like, on a 4 o'clock.
Yes.
4 o'clock on, like, a Friday.
Forget about it. Yeah, and there's, like, cool chocolate shops, and then there's, like, cool, like, antique shops.
Oh, let's talk about the Rose Bowl flea market, and then we've got the PCC flea market, and then there's all these farmers market. Yeah. Altadena's farmers has a farmers market. South Pasadena has a farmers market. So I feel like we have a little bit of everything in Pasadena. And when I first started, I thought I was going to corner myself with that name. I was like, I'm never going to be able to leave Pasadena.
Right.
But it's actually perfect because then when I go on vacation, I, like, unplug completely, and I don't feel like I have to take a picture of every sunset, which I hate, by the way, when people overpost their vacations.
Right.
Stop, people.
Yeah.
which, by the way, I have to give you credit. Your website is beautiful, and
Thank
the photos
you.
Are amazing.
Thank
and
you.
And it helps, I think, that you're in the photos, because you're obviously a very beautiful woman.
Thank you.
And you know how to dress. Your style, sense of style, is amazing. And I think that's
so important.
What contributes to her success.
Because you want to trust somebody that's like,
exactly,
okay, they know what they're doing.
You know, yeah,
what I mean?
You got a lot. If you go on Instagram, you got a million people that are wannabes, but just a little percent of people, just like yourself, are trendsetters, because you know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm looking at your Instagram right now, and I see that photo with the donut. The donut
my gosh!
Is not from Pasadena, but
my nails are.
Yeah, the same. I guess you took it today?
I took it last weekend.
Yeah,
very nice.
And what's so funny is that actually that donut shop just reposted my picture like 5 minutes before I came here. So that's a really big thing. And when it comes to strategy, and that's kind of where I'm moving in the direction of, but still staying a tastemaker, but
yeah,
also now teaching classes in social media.
That's awesome.
And really figuring out the strategy, because I don't just post a picture to post it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like,
it's got to have a reason.
I have to think about why this picture might attract, like, the company. Maybe that company will repost it. Hence why I always collaborate with more people, because if you've got four people, if you have a photographer, a florist, you have me, you have, a dessert, you potentially have all those people posting that picture as well, and then you're
right,
reaching all of their followers.
That's smart.
So, you know, strategy is huge, and I take that from back in my not going to the audition.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like the strategy.
Less is more.
Less is more. Work smarter, not harder.
That's right. Where do you think social media, like I like how you say city influencers. That's such a cool.
It's
a new thing, and like I read that in your bio, and I'm like, of course she's teaching me words that like are already like fashion, trendy, and cool, and I didn't even know about it.
But did you know influencer is still not a word, because when I type it, it needs to be like spell checked.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But weird. I think of it as a word.
No, I think it's awesome. And it's happening, too. And it's like...
It's new.
The funny thing is, it's like in a world of social media where, like, Perez Hilton, there's so many people like that that are just... They're just out there, and it's just loud and crass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so awesome that you do it in a classy way, and you do it in an interesting way. It's like an adventure, and it's like...
It's a total adventure.
People can follow you and also experiencing it without feeling like, you know, they aren't on the adventure with you. Like, it's an investment that you, like... And you do things in a way that's like, you tell a story. That's what I love. I mean, you know me. I've got like a ton of like followers, you know, also for the band.
Right.
And it's like news feeds are like flashing. It's like almost too much. It's like I have to stop.
Well, that's why I moved away from Facebook, because it was just too political and too like everybody's just like
pain in the
wordy
ass.
And yeah, I just like I'm hardly on it at all. And I felt like Instagram was more for artists.
Right.
Like visually.
Visual, exactly.
And you didn't have to read the text if you didn't want to. You could just use that finger, keep, you know, flip it.
Even when you see like 12 pictures come up, there's like a story real quickly.
Right, you know? Right. And I love it. I'm a little bit obsessed with it. And now that it has the story aspect, I feel that I can really... you know, say like happening now, as opposed to like taking that picture and, you know, tagging everybody and making it, you know, a project. It's like, hey, I'm at the park with my son right now, even though I always save it and do it later so people don't know where I'm at, where I'm there.
That's smart.
Right? Still have to.
You make
careful,
it like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Well, it's just a safety thing.
No, totally. And you know what the funny thing is? It's like, you used to always do scrapbooking.
Yes, I did.
Which is like such a, you know, it's such a thing in when you're in high school.
You just make those collages.
Yeah, but yours were always like ridiculous. I mean, they were awesome. And like you'd go over to her house, she'd be like, oh, look, I made this little thing for our senior year. And you'd look at it and it was like watching a museum exhibit. You were like, this is incredible. It's got so much life. And I experienced all these things, but I forgot about so many of the things that you know, so it's funny to see, like, Instagram is, like, your vehicle.
It is. It's like my high school collage.
That's exactly what it is.
It totally is.
That's why I'm like, I'm still following your stuff. I'm like, that's so interesting. I love that. No, because it's like scrapbooking was your, like, it was the seed that got you into where you are now. It's like, it's weird. I know, but I mean, it's like, it makes sense. It totally makes sense. You were doing that back then, and it's like, you were telling stories. You're a storyteller. you're a tastemaker. You're doing all these cool things. Where do you see Pasadena going with all the, because your finger's on the pulse in so many different directions.
Right.
Where do you see it going as a cultural influence, as a fashion influence, as food and beverage, like technology? Where do you see it kind of diversifying and going crazy?
I've had thoughts of doing something bigger on a local. So I branched out a couple of times to do like Charming Neighbors. So like the Americana brand reached out to me, and I thought, okay, well, I don't want my Pasadena Charmers to be like, wait a second, you can't leave Pasadena.
You're like, no, I'm staying
I'm
here.
Just next door in Glendale, you guys. So I started a hashtag called Charming Neighbors. But I don't know. I just feel like I rarely leave Pasadena. But if I wanted to, my thoughts are to go on a much bigger scale and maybe do like a zine. You know what a zine is? It's like, okay, here's another thing.
Yeah. So, dude, I should take notes.
It's called zine, which is short for magazine. And it's like a little tiny magazine with like 5 or 6 pages showcasing whatever you want to showcase. So a lot of artists are doing it. You know, you could do it as a musician if you wanted to put like, you know, a zine out for the...
Are you giving me more homework?
Always. So I would love to have something printed. I would love to maybe have like Charming Locals or like Zagat, but more like how I do it.
Yeah.
On an independent, like, you know, say people are going to London or wherever, they can hone in on that local, secretive
vibe. You need like a TV show. I mean, seriously.
Well, that would be
travel.
Cool.
I mean, this is how it starts, though. I mean, honestly, it's like when you get so much of a voice where you're showing things that are just so cool and different, it's like, I mean, that's how people want to follow you on a much global, more global scale. So.
Right.
That's going to happen. You're like, yeah, we'll have that happen. Yeah, no, absolutely. What are some of the biggest challenges in just like, you know, social media? You know, there's so many YouTube stars and so many.
Oh, so I'm getting into YouTube now.
Cool.
And I feel like a little fish in a big pond all over again because there's all these huge YouTubers, young YouTubers, million followers. But again, I feel like I'm going to do something that's a little different.
Yeah.
And I've teamed up with a girlfriend of mine that's opening up a dance studio in Pasadena, and we are going to shoot a video.
Is it two?
Yeah, it's two.
So when I did the Apollo show, I'm going to give a little shout out to two.
And you. Okay.
So like I played this show at the Apollo Theater, and I had this breakdancer show me all this stuff to do, like when I was doing the Michael Jackson song. So I called Taryn, and I'm like, I don't know anybody in the dance world. Can you get me like some hookup with a dance studio room where I can just have just me in a room?
Oh, I remember.
I'm gonna bring my electric guitar. I'm gonna just like work out stuff that I need to do. And you called too, and she hooked me up.
She's
and I'll
the
never
bomb.
Forget that because that show for me, I mean, it was in front of like 1,400 people. It was like one of the most amazing experiences. And she made that happen for me. She got me this little room, and I would like put like a piece of paper in the little glass so nobody could see.
I love making things happen.
You've always been a connector for me. It's like I'm always
that's
like,
the thing. I love connecting people.
Yeah, you continue to do it. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. So two is partnering up with this guy, and they are opening up a dance studio in Pasadena, and you know, they want to get the word out. So I said, you know what? I'm looking into getting into video. So if you can make that happen, maybe we can dance in Pasadena.
That'd
in the
awesome.
Streets.
Yeah.
Put some really cool music to it and start doing things on YouTube.
That's going to make you want to start dancing again. You're going to be like,
well,
I want to dance.
And I already started taking classes again because I feel like my son's back in school. I had some mornings open. I'm just in the studio taking some amazing classes from a gal named Jazz Grant, who is also a mom, and she just teaches some really badass classes. And we actually did some Michael Jackson Beat It choreography.
Love it.
To a Panic at the Disco song. Death of a Bachelor.
Love that song.
I love Great that song. So we took Michael Jackson's Beat It choreography and did it to that song.
So that guy was at the Grammys, and he was one of the MCs. an envy person that couldn't make it to the, you know, to give a speech, you'd be like, I love you, man. Hey, I know you're out there. We haven't met, but I love you, man.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
He was such a ham. He was such a ham. So I love that song, but it was cool to see that he was, like, such a down-to-earth person. And hamming it up, I mean, he is, yeah. So I love that song. And
oh,
so when I saw him
good.
Live, I was like, I like you. You're cool.
I like you.
So what's in the future for Passing the Charm?
So right now I'm working on like classes, like I told you. So social media. I actually have another event that I'm speaking at. It's called Madia Tech, and it stands for Monrovia, Arcadia, Duarte, Irwindale, Azusa.
Whoa.
And it's like they have speakers come. So I have a lot of people like asking me to speak on behalf of social media and like how I got to where I'm doing. So then I thought, okay, I need to start doing something with this. I have a lot of moms reaching out to me, Taryn, can we have coffee? I really want to like learn more about how you started your blog. So I'm going to kind of put together a little course and to show people how to be a tastemaker, how to be a city influencer, because there's so many cities out there and there's so many people. It's like,
but the cool thing
it.
Is, it's like you always have gone like a different route than as long as I've ever
known
you.
I just love being unique
yeah,
and different
totally,
and not
totally.
Boring. It's just yeah. you're the same way.
But you know what I learned from people like you? Honestly, I'm like she doesn't know this, but like I would see that you learn from people that kind of you know get that initiative to do things on their own. So it's like it gives you that feeling like you know what I can do that too. So it's like a lot of that. I didn't even know I was going to tell you that tonight.
Well,
see? You're pulling
you.
Things out of me.
I love
know.
It. I mean, no, being different just always is superior to
yeah.
me. Even in my wedding, I didn't have a daddy-daughter dance. I didn't have a bridal party.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't
I played at your wedding.
You played
you know
at
what
my
was cool?
wedding.
She had me play at her wedding, and she had me play a song that I just wrote. I wrote it like 2 weeks before.
Oh, my
and I was
God.
Like, I just wrote this song.
It
I think
was
it'd be
gorgeous.
Perfect. And I sent it to her, and I'm like, she's so like unique and original that she had not a cover song at a wedding that most people ask me to play. But, you know, it's like you had me do something that you had me play my song. And your husband, Owen, who I love, he's also like big on art. So
yes.
I remember sitting with him, I think, at your rehearsal dinner, and we just talked about art and like how passionate he is about art and original art and just like all the different painters. And I was just like, this guy. So shout out to Owen too. Because
yay.
Yeah, it's just like you're surrounded by art. You're surrounded by good people. You're just leading the way. I want more. Taryn.
And it was in Pasadena.
That's
it
right.
was at the Pasadena Museum
That's
of California
right.
Art on the rooftop
yeah.
overlooking City Hall before
wow.
I even lived there.
That's right. And you had a piece of art, I remember, at your wedding. You had like a tree or
we
something.
We had
right?
a projection
yeah.
of a tree shadow. And then we got married under it.
I remember that. It was awesome. See?
Unique.
Even the way you had a wedding.
And exactly. we did photo booths before photo booths were popular.
That's true. I remember that.
We built it, actually. Actually, Owen built it.
That's amazing.
And we created like a little scene of like your grandmother's living room.
That's crazy. Taryn,
nice.
You are always captivating, always
yay.
Changing the world. You've been an amazing guest.
Thank
you got to come
you.
Back. I'm making you come
yeah,
back.
I
definitely.
Will be back.
Definitely.
I will be back.
See, even Ronan's like, yes, she's
yes.
coming back.
And
I want to see more. Yeah.
Check out PasadenaCharm.com.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Thank you.
Hashtag PasadenaCharm.
And what's your
Charm.
Instagram?
It's at PasadenaCharm. All my
perfect.
Handles are at PasadenaCharm. And if you hashtag, well, if you're in Pasadena, use the hashtag because I'm actually featuring all of my favorite hashtags on my blog.
Awesome.
So
nice.
Hence having another Pasadena collage. The collage
you.
Is just following me. I'm a collage of
and
things.
That's right. Now you're taking it too far, but I like it. I like your spirit. Taryn, you know what? It's awesome to have you. We'll see you here soon.
Okay.
PasadenaCharm.com.
Correct.
Yep. Pasadena Charm, all the handles for Instagram and
Facebook,
Twitter.
Twitter.
And Ronan, thanks for filling in for
yeah,
Eddie.
You're welcome.
Thank
it was
you.
Fun.
You were so
it was
awesome.
Fun.
Look at you praising Pasadena, too.
Yeah.
Look at you, buddy. On behalf of Eddie, myself, Ronan, and Taryn, we'll see you guys here next week.
Woo!